Mustang would be exciting. A little brake stand on that Mustang would be exciting out there.
At 6 o'clock.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. Carol, we call roll, please.
President Graves.
Present.
Vice President Dawson. Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you. This is the time for public comments. If anybody in the audience has any comments they'd like to make on items other than those on the agenda, this would be the time to do that. Are there any comments?
It's just items on the agenda.
Or if we're just items on the agenda, this would be the time to comment. Okay, hearing none, public comments are closed. Council, will you take us into closed session, please?
Yes, this is regarding item C, the open session disclosure of closed session agenda items. The board is going into closed session regarding action item D1, public disclosure. There are no facts or circumstances to disclose in accordance with Government Code Section 54956.9, subpart B, subpart 3, subpart A. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. At this time, I would ask that anybody that is not part of the closed session, and that would be those in the audience, please vacate the premises.
I got to turn on.
What? We're going to turn the tape on. Okay, need to let the people in before we reconvene in open session. Then just ask me to report.
Do I have to gavel out of anything or anything?
If you'd like.
I don't need to.
Actually, I like that scene better.
That's good. I love to see the
little
smile.
Is that everybody's out there, Rick?
Yep.
Good thing the tops on that. Council, I would ask you to bring us back into open session, please.
Thank you. You guys, President.
Wait, wait 1 second. You got a few more people walking in. It's not 7 yet. We said go 7.
No, I don't care.
I'm not going to start that.
Yes, please do.
Okay, the board is reconvened from closed session regarding action item D on the special meeting agenda. The four board members who were present at the beginning were present during the entirety of the closed session. In regards to reportable actions under the Brown Act, there is no reportable action. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Council, and the special meeting is adjourned. Hey, Bert. Could you all please rise and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Yes.
Carol, you call roll, please.
President Graves.
Present.
Vice President Dawson. Director Simon.
Here.
Director Steele.
Here.
Director Tatro.
Here.
Thank you, Carol. Mm-hmm. This is the time for public comment. If anybody has any comments they would like to make about any items that are not listed on the agenda, this would be the time to come forward to the microphone, address the board, and have that discussion. Okay, public comments are closed. Area agency reports. We got a choice. Anybody in particular want to come up tonight? AJ, are you going to get a report?
Me.
Good to see you. Welcome.
Did you bring bodyguards tonight or what?
Yeah. No, it's Sergeant Barberly back there. Although a resident of East County, very familiar with the area. New to Delta Station, so I wanted him to come in and
welcome,
and see the meeting, so that he could, in case for some reason I'm sick or couldn't make it, that he'd be my replacement.
Nice. There may be extras coming around here, so for short, I'll send those around.
If we're still out, then I'll talk to Tony and get some more.
Yeah, good job, right now. Line up just to get rid of the whole room.
And the other two deputies, Deputy Spaulding, Deputy Hamlin, you know them. They're your Disco Bay resident deputies. So
but right now the kids are drag racing on Discovery.
Probably so. No, we still have the beat car out there. So. Well, my part is going to be fairly short tonight. not a lot to report as far as the crime stats go. Crimes overall from month to month, from last month to this month, are down, which is good. The one thing I want to note is you'll notice the property crimes, such as petty theft, grand theft, burglaries, and the like, are down from the previous month. Deputies did a good job. They ended up taking and got an in-progress burglary suspect in custody. We think he's responsible for a few of the garage-type burglaries from previous months. And there was a young man, I don't know if he's technically still a juvenile or a young adult, he's still juvenile at this point. He was arrested last month. He committed a couple of other crimes, got rearrested, is still in custody, and I think he was responsible for quite a few of the daytime auto burglaries and residential burglaries. He's still in custody. We go to court on him tomorrow, so we'll hopefully by next meeting have a disposition on him. But with those two arrests, I think it helped keep our crime stats down. The only thing I always, you know, playing the same broken record is remind people to don't leave things in your cars in plain view. You know, your laptop computers, your purses, your wallets, don't leave them in your car. Take them in with you at night. You know, when you get home, don't leave them in your car, at work, or anywhere else, because probably about 60% of the property crimes that are listed are crimes of opportunity, meaning that the bad guys were just walking by, saw a laptop, saw iPhone, iPod, money, whatever it was, broke a window, grabbed it, and took off. And so had the item not been sitting there, odds are the crime would have occurred. So it's one of my things. I just keep playing that broken record to just remind people. Crimes of opportunity are the biggest crimes that we have out here. If we take things out of the criminal's way, it's unlikely we'll get hit. That's all I have to report. Unless there are questions.
Any questions from the board?
Yeah. How do we do with drunk driving arrests over the Labor Day weekend?
As far as my deputies go, there were no supplements. We didn't have any. Did refer to them. CHP, have any that you saw?
I know they were on the force.
So about five maybe for the entire East County. So they were out and about, just fortunately maybe people were getting the message and not drinking and driving as much.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
The Lakeview Business Plaza, we had a break in there. Is that grand theft? Have we caught anybody yet? They damaged a few businesses there and had quite a few things stolen.
That would be
burglary commercial August 30th.
I have a different list than you do, so I've got to find mine. Well, if you guys have speak to it?
Match window, no leads, no suspects.
Okay. Match window, no leads, no suspects at this point. Speed up the process. Thank you.
Questions from the public for our sheriff? Anybody? Any questions?
The terrorist threat, what was that?
Oh, it's a misnomer. They should read criminal threats.
Okay.
Back before 9/11, the code section read terrorist threats. It just means terrorizing somebody else, threatening to do them harm. And then post 9/11, they changed it to criminal threats. Unfortunately, our computer system didn't get updated, so it still shows terrorist threats. But it's not terrorism in the sense of 9/11 type of terrorism.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Appreciate the report.
Thank you.
And just in time, Battalion Chief Burris.
It's all about timing. Hello, I'm Battalion Chief Burris. I represent East Contra Costa Fire Protection District. I give a monthly report. And I see some new faces out there. I'd just like to reiterate that your fire protection district, as a protection district, is an umbrella of protection that stretches all the way from Discovery Bay to the town of Oakley. No one fire station is a standalone entity. So if your house is on fire or a house in Brentwood, engines converge on that house. So if you do have an emergency, please dial 911 and just don't go to your local fire station. With that being said, there were 65 EMS calls in Discovery Bay, 3 structure fires, 1 vehicle fire, 4 vegetation fires, 3 auto accidents, 1 fire alarm, 1 hazardous condition, for a total of 79 calls for the month of August, up from correction, down from 85 for the month of July. And please come to the next fire board meeting.
I'll be there. Any questions from the board?
So I saw some reports that people are falling and now have lifeline. What are they falling on?
Usually if you fall from a chair, your head is over 6 feet. And when it comes in contact with the ground, it tends to create cranial injuries. Depending on the age of the person, for county protocol for a trauma, any long bone, any penetrating injury meets trauma criteria, so we're obligated to fly those people out.
Okay.
And that is one of the nice things about living out here, because you are far enough away from the hospital that you immediately get flown to John Muir.
Thanks.
Questions from the public for Chief Burris? Well, it was an easy night for you. Any entertainment you want? There we go. I see. We knew there was going to be a little song and dance. Thank you for that. Is anybody familiar? John Jewell here this evening? Okay, well, you know what? I don't think we've actually had a meeting since the last one. It's actually this Monday night, so there's probably nothing to report. We reported last meeting. Okay, moving along, is Karen Cornell here?
I'm here.
Come on up, Karen.
Are you going to dance up like the chief did?
I'll leave that to the fire department. Again, I'm Karen Cornell from Supervisor PIFO's office. A couple things to update you guys on. You guys can expect lane closures during non-commute hours tomorrow in the Vasco Camino Diablo area for that project, tomorrow and Friday. I want to remind you of the upcoming last household hazardous waste event for 2011 in East County that we know of, Delta Diablo Sanitation. It is October 1st from 9 to 2 in Brentwood at the transfer station, and I will leave these in the back. Household hazardous waste event, the third one.
Is that tomorrow?
It's
is this
October.
Oh.
But since I'm not going to see you before October 1st, I wanted to remind you, I'll give you a flyer.
Okay. There's an e-waste coming up this Saturday. And isn't there in Brentwood?
I don't know.
I got a TV I get rid of. That's why I'm asking.
I don't know about that. But I know that it says TVs are typical accepted waste on this one. And I'll put this in the back. Also want to say we were happy to assist with the American Heroes banners. They look great. I just saw them for the first time. Very exciting for your community. Wanted to let you know that we're continuing our work and we're almost there. One last step to do the reestablishment of the double fine zone on Vasco Road. We worked with the same woman Buchanan's office. It's passed the Senate and the and now it's on the governor's desk and the assembly. That's who I missed. Want to let you know even more is going to happen on Vasco Road. Just bear with us for a little bit longer. Alameda is going to do a continuation of additional concrete barrier from Los Vaqueros to the county line. So they're extending their concrete barrier, which is great. And they are anticipating to be completed by November per their agreement. And lastly, the Contra Costa Vasco Safety Improvement Project is going wonderfully. And again, anticipation to be completed by the end of the year. And we are seeking funding for phase two, so we're continuing to work on that. That is it.
Any questions from the board for supervisor's office? How about from the public? Any questions from the public? Karen, thank you very much for the report.
I do have one real question.
Oops, did I miss something?
Do you know when the sign is coming, the Discovery Bay entry sign, the highway sign?
I don't. I'm not sure if I've actually talked to you guys at a meeting about this, but we're working with Public Works to install community signs. Right now we're working on Discovery Bay and Byron, and we'll do Knights and Bethel Island as well, our unincorporated areas out in East County. Discovery Bay is a little bit more tricky because where we're going to put the signs is actually, two of them are in Caltrans right-of-way, so we're working with Caltrans, which it's another level of fun. So no anticipated time, but we're working on it. And they're just going to be the standard welcome to Discovery Bay with your population from the 2010 census and the elevation.
Thanks, Karen, very much. Okay, committee reports. Anybody here for transplant? County Planning Commission, I think it was canceled. Maybe not. Code enforcement.
Yes, thank you. We did have a code enforcement meeting last month. Vice President Dawson and I attended that meeting in Supervisor Pipo's Brentwood office. Issues relative to Discovery Bay Center, relatively common themes, signage, boat trailers and driveways. And we did have a complaint of a extraordinary number of trailers parked in violation over in the Ravenswood neighborhood. So they were going to do some spot enforcement over there as well. Other than that, there's nothing else to report.
Thank you very much for that. Special district report, I imagine that has meeting has not occurred. Consent calendar.
I'd like to keep item 2 pulled for discussion.
Item 2 will be pulled from the consent calendar. I'd entertain a motion for 1 and 3. If you would like to make that motion.
I make a motion to approve the consent calendar, item 1 and 3. I move item 2 to F.
We'll just take care of it. Is there a second on that motion?
I'll second.
Okay. Motion's been made and seconded for clarification for consent items number 1 and 3. All those in favor? Any discussion by the public? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Ray, item number 2 from the consent calendar.
Yeah, I have a question on some account thing here for staff. On page 404, you've got community center funds. So it looks like are you taking the money, besides the fact you can't spell my name, which is you're transferring money for the meeting for the community center out of the community center funds into the general ledger? Is that what you're doing?
What we're doing is, Director Tetro, is we are accounting for your time and Director Steele's participation in the community center committees. Since those committees, the compensation on those committees is from the community center fund, they're being paid out of the community center fund.
Okay, we've never done that before. And I would contend, because I don't want to see spending the money, the community center money, we don't have to. That's part of the general running of the district that we have done. I may be wrong, but that's my part about it.
I will have an offline conversation with legal counsel and discuss it with him relative to our Prop 218 requirements.
Thank you. No, I would. We could go forward.
Would you like to make a motion to accept item 2?
I will make a motion to accept item 2.
Thank you, Ray.
I'll second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. New business. Item number 1. Staff?
The item before you this evening is the first amendment to a site lease with an option period for the T-Mobile cellular site at Slifer Park. As you recall, last year the board authorized entering into an agreement with T-Mobile for the establishment of a cellular tower over at Slifer Park. And in June of this year, while the project was in plan check, the AT&T announced their plans to acquire T-Mobile. I received an email shortly thereafter indicating that our project has been placed on hold, and it is subsequently not moving forward at this time pending the outcome of the T-Mobile AT&T merger. I reminded T-Mobile that the option agreement in the initial contract expires on September the 9th. It was a 9-month option period. And they would like to move that option period. Like to extend that option period for an additional 12 months with an additional 12-month option after that if it's necessary. That would be at our discretion. It's our discretion tonight whether or not you want to enter into the option period altogether. As compensation for extending into the option period, T-Mobile, consistent with their consideration they provided to us for the original option period, $2,000 for the 9 months, they're proposing $2,500 to basically maintain their place so that if the merger is successful and they do get to go ahead and build the tower, they go ahead and do so. If the merger is not successful, they can still move forward and build the tower. And so at this point in time, we would recommend moving forward with the option agreement. It's a 1+1 essentially. The second year is at both parties' discretion. They can bail out, we can bail out. It's up to us. So that's the item for you this evening.
Go ahead, Mark.
So we're looking at tying up this project for another year for $2,500.
At this point, I've spoken with another gentleman that who's in the business of working with cellular providers for site locations, and the big three are already here: Verizon, Sprint, and AT&T. Now, any of those three companies, if this tower were ever built, would be able to co-locate and have improved facilities on there. But at this point in time, T-Mobile is really the one that has a deficiency in the area. And so we would be tying up that parcel for an additional year, yes.
Any other questions from the board? Any comments from the public? Rick, the only question I would have is there room there, let's say that Sprint decided that they wanted to put a tower and equipment in there, in that same location, is there room, enough room for equipment for a, because that's really the big deal, is the pad big enough to accommodate the other equipment, because they tend to own the pad also.
They would co-locate on the tower with their antenna, and they would provide facilities at the bottom, and there is additional space around on the
I'd entertain a motion. Any comment from the public? Not hearing, I'd entertain a motion or a recommendation from the board at this point.
I'll make a motion that we proceed with the extension of the lease.
I'll second.
Okay, motion's been made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item two.
Item two, staff is looking to the board for some direction relative to the fees that we currently charge for service connections, capacity charges, and other related fees associated with our water and wastewater system. As you're aware, we are in the process of preparing the 10-year master plans for both the water and the wastewater. The water master plan is essentially complete. It's been out for public review. We've had a workshop on it. The wastewater master plan is nearing completion. We should have that on the street by the end of this month. And so I thought it was appropriate at this point in time, as a parallel path, to bring forward a discussion relative to our connection fees, the fees that we charge to connect to the system based upon the capital needs that we're looking at in the future. Some of them have already been identified in the water master plan. There are some in the wastewater master plan that our wastewater master plan subcommittee, consisting of President Graves and Director Tetra, are familiar with. And like I say, we'll be on the street here in the next few weeks. So what I would like to do is, if it's possible with the board, is to seek out some consultants that are in the business, if you will, of evaluating this type of a service, this type of a connection fee. Our connection fees right now for water and sewer are about $2,800 in that neighborhood. And we know, based upon the data that's coming to us and the data we see in the water master plan, that those numbers are just no longer viable numbers. They just don't, they're not commensurate with the cost of the improvements. So what I would like to do is have some feedback from the board and look at possibly updating those fees and provide an opportunity for us. The last time we did that was back in 2004, and they haven't been changed since, and it's time to do that. And so I wanted to get some feedback from the board.
Comments from the board?
We look back at some of the other districts around us with their charging. Many of them for sewer only are $14,500, not counting water. We're $2,800 for water and sewer, which is absolutely ridiculous. We need to get in line. We have a lot of infrastructure we're talking about replacing. We have developers that want to come to town. And I believe at this point we need to be proactive in moving this ahead immediately. If you have a group like Pantages come in, or Newport Point, or even Hawkins, that matter, depending on how we end up, the difference between 14,500 and 2,800 pays for all of our infrastructure. So I don't know what, other than having an outside company come in, I don't know what the time frame is. I'm assuming they base it on where our present needs and future.
The capacity fees are based upon a nexus of the cost of the improvements to buy into the system. So there's a no net cost to the district, if you will. They have to pay their own way. And it, with the current fee structure as it's established, that would not be the case. What I'm proposing this evening to go to an RFP process and bring in a couple consultants and convention Tywin down here so we can identify that product. We can identify what those fees would be based upon the capital needs that are identified in the wastewater and also what are coming going to be coming out in the wastewater on the wastewater side as well.
I would echo that we just need to move this quickly.
Yeah, what I would, my understanding though is it really what understanding that there that we probably aren't in line with what the actual costs are, and I'm not disputing that with my colleague. It's just that what other people charging is not relevant because we can only charge what that those actual costs are. We can't it's not a comparison to areas around us. It's basically what those costs are going to be to the correct. I mean, we're limited by law on what we can charge for these things. But we need that reevaluation. Does it, Rick, just from my own knowledge, and I probably should know this and I don't, does it take into account what it costs to maintain and run the system or only what it costs to hook up to the system? In other words, does the increase in our costs with regards to what it was in 2004 with our contractor to run when we had Southwest Water here and we were paying them $60,000 a year and now we're paying, I mean a month, and now we're paying $115,000 a month or whatever we're paying, is that part, can that be part of those hookup fees or not?
I don't know the answer to that question, but I believe, just taking a stab at it, this is for connection, it's not for operations.
Okay, well, it doesn't really matter because costs have gone up all the way along the line and we're not in line, so I definitely agree that this would be a good time. Obviously, I would recommend that we wait till we have our wastewater plant completed and so they can use that information.
Well, I could, but I can still solicit the,
absolutely,
the proposals from the different firms.
I'm sorry, that would be a good recommendation. Any other comment from the board? Comment from the public on this? Okay. Would the board like to? Would the board like to make a recommendation on this? Or I would. If nobody else would. I would recommend that the staff move forward with soliciting some firms that can, in fact, do a study for us and give us some recommendations as to where we should be in order to make sure that we're fairly charging. Fairly representing the people, as well as fairly charging the developers for their connections.
That's your motion.
Does it need to be in a motion for
us? Yes.
That would be my motion.
I'll second that motion.
Any more discussion? Yes, sir. Did you want to say something? Okay. Hey, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 3.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board. The item before you tonight, item F3, is to discuss potential changes to our proposed changes to our bylaws and our board policy. Over the past year, you've adopted a number of resolutions changing certain things, one of which we adopted Rosenberg's Rules of Order, another we eliminated the board position of treasurer and created the board position of president pro tem. And in going through the documents, we wanted to maintain consistency between the two documents. There was not necessarily uniformity between the roles of the board in each of the documents and the roles of staff. And so what we have before you this evening is a copy of the amended bylaws as well as a copy of the board policy, and they're in strikeout form, underlined in strikeout form, so you can he can review them and read them pretty straightforwardly and see where the changes that are being proposed come from. Some of the changes are applying the correct government code after the CSD law was implemented in January of 06. So it changes some of the government code sections, just purely corrective items. And then there are just some other relatively minor changes, but there are some that are a little bit more complicated, but not necessarily out of line relative to the position of the different board members, the roles of the board, as well as what you can and cannot do and what staff can and cannot do. So my goal this evening is to get feedback from you relative to those changes, and then we would come back at the next meeting or the following meeting after that with the final document. So if you had a chance to take a look at it and have any questions, I'd be happy to answer them at this point in time.
Rick? Yeah, specifically on the second document, which is a board policy, page 6, under D, under responsibility of the board president, just a small point, but from 4 to 5, at the back end of each of those, confirmation by the board.
As confirmed by the board?
Correct, please, yes.
Where do you see?
Page 6 of the second document is under the general duties of the board president. 4 to 5 just says that you shall appoint committees, no working groups, and then shall designate directors. And that's fine, but I'd like the board confirmation on that. And it wasn't the previous.
I'm going to say as prescribed by the board.
Confirmation, by another way, we voted on it.
So, Director Tetro shall appoint such committees and other working groups as confirmed by the board, under
yes.
number 4.
Yeah.
And then at the end of 5, after the word conferences, as confirmed by the board, period.
Yes, sir.
And then how did it read before?
On the next page, in the red, on the next page over, it should have
on the top. I see.
Read before.
I see. Personally, I'd like an opportunity to review these and bring them back to the, at a later date. So I appreciate the information. I'm not ready to make any movement on this at this point.
We can certainly bring it back at the next meeting and follow up. There's most of the changes, like I said, are relatively minor. There are some relatively substantive changes that were discussed. If you recall, Director Steele was not at the meeting, but we did have a workshop back, I believe, last October on this, and some of the changes that were recommended at that time are finally here now in this document today, as well as a lot of those other minor changes relative to Rosemary's Rules of Order and the position of the Treasurer. So we can certainly hold it back for the meeting, come back at a future date.
Okay. All right, item 4. But nobody's saying anything, so I guess I'm supposed to be. Where's item 4?
Item 4 is a deferred annexation agreement between Wayne and Anita Farnholtz and the town of Discovery Bay to provide sanitary services through an out-of-agency service agreement. We brought this item back to you originally back in February of this year,
yeah.
And we adopted a resolution between the district and LAFCO to provide an out-of-agency services agreement. We've been working with LAFCO staff for the better part of 4 or 5 months on this. It's been fairly complicated, but we think we're finally there. And what is before you this evening is the actual agreement between the parties and the district. As to what they will be providing, what we will be providing to them. It is only for sanitary services. There's no water being provided. And the reason for the out-of-agency service agreement need is if they have a septic system on site that is failing, and it's in the public safety and welfare, that they connect to a sanitary sewer system. We are the nearest sanitary system that they can do that to. The deferred annexation agreement basically provides that if in the future we were to annex that part of the highway, it's on the south side of Highway 4, if we were to annex that side of the highway, that they would not contest the annexation. So that's what that's about. And Virgil Caney, who's here, has been working on this for quite some time. And if you have any specific questions regarding that and the connections and hookups, he can address those questions for you.
Why was it so complicated? It seemed rather simple when you first brought it to us.
It was rather simple, but LAFCO had to go through their review and analysis to make sure that we were the first step in line. We took the first step relative to, we agreed that there was a public health issue and that it was necessary for them to connect to the system. The board passed that resolution. LAFCO then took it, their staff reviewed it, evaluated it, and made sure that yes, indeed, there was an issue. Initially, I believe it came to us for water and sewer. LAFCO came back and said, no, you can't provide water, you can't provide the sewer based upon a failing septic system. So part of the hang-up took place because of, I should say hang-up, but part of the bureaucracy was going through the LAFCO process as well.
Questions? Yes, sir.
Virgil, what is the cost of hooking them up?
It'd be whatever our standard connection fee is for wastewater. And I think it's mentioned tonight about $2,200-$2,300.
We have to do a lot of piping to that?
No, they pay for all
that. We don't pay for any of that.
And at what rate will we be charging them?
Standard rate. Wastewater rate. Like anybody else. It wouldn't have any preference of rates.
They'll be billed on a monthly.
So they're billed by the size.
Yeah, they'd be
by the size of their parcel on the standard rates, correct?
Yes, on the wastewater. Wastewater is a flat fee based on the parcel size, and they'd be charged on that on their real estate, on their real estate real estate taxes.
Right. Okay. Any more? Yes, Ray.
Yeah. In here, do we say that if we do this, that they'll abandon the septic
water? Not in
so
this,
they can't use it?
Not in this deferred annexation, but in the in our agreement with them on the, yes, it is. They have to abandon the septic system in order to come to the.
That's one of the LAFCO conditions.
Okay. And my other point is just part of clarification. We're just providing sanitary sewer, but under the questions for LAFCO, complete all relevant questions. Number 8, what type of service do you provide? You wrote water and wastewater.
Yeah.
I believe that should be wastewater.
That should be wastewater. This was the out-of-agency application that we submitted to them. And then LAFCO came back and said no on the water. This is what we submitted to them based upon the initial request.
We have that change before we.
It's not part of the annexation agreement, just back to material. It was part of the application that we sent to LAFCO.
The annex agreement is the first portion of where it states,
it's relatively new.
Deferred annexation agreement would be the annexation agreement, I'm assuming.
Right. It's 3 pages, it's a 2-page document
with
plus a 1-page map.
Okay, very good.
We've done this before. This is the second time.
Okay.
What have we done? Bixler?
Yes.
No, across the same place.
Oh, really? Okay. Go ahead.
Next door here.
Chris, do you have any
questions?
Is the property owner in the room? I'm just surprised they didn't have to do a new septic. It's not that hard.
The county health department doesn't provide a new septic system.
They're not providing new septic systems. They're eliminating septic.
When they have a failing one like that.
Okay. My understanding is the adjacent parcel has already been connected, and it goes under the Highway 4 over to the Centex. Okay. And the use is for single family home, right? That's what we've confirmed. If they decide to go through a rezoning or something in the future, that'll.
Yeah, we can discuss that.
All right. Thank you.
Any other questions from the board? Comments from the public? Mr. Kier, please step up to the microphone.
Yes, thank you. This resolution that was passed by this board back in February, does that have to be redone now that it's a sewer only?
No, as a matter of fact, I had that specific question, very good question, and I talked to Executive Director of LAFCO Friday afternoon and asked that exact question. She said, no, we did not need to make any adjustments to it because they came back to us with what the conditions were going to be. I had the same question you did, Rich.
Okay. My other question then is, this application for out-of-agency service agreement talks about water and sewer also. Does that need to be done because it also lists various ways to connect to sewer and water, most of which are listed on there for violation of county codes, and it should not be followed. It shouldn't even be in there.
Well, the water component of it, this was just the application that was submitted, that we submitted to LAFCO. Once LAFCO got a hold of it and they spent time with it, they directed us to not provide water services, that we could only provide the wastewater services. And that's why the agreement is written just for wastewater.
Okay, but this previous one that listed both of them, it lists three or four different ways to hook the water and right. the sewer, and most of which are in violation of state and county codes. And I think those should be removed and not be part of the record.
The whatever type of building permits, engineering permits, are going to get required from the county is going to impose their conditions, regardless of what they say or we say.
Okay, so the owner has to prepare plans, submit them to Caltrans for encroachment permit if that's required, and the county for encroachment permit, and the building department for plumbing permit.
It's all the property owner's requirement.
Okay.
We provide the main line and they can tie into it.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions or comments for the public? Okay, hearing none, was there going to be any action by the board?
Yeah, I'll make a motion to provide sanitary sewer to Wayne and Anna Farholtz pursuant to LAFCO's agreement.
You mean a deferred annexation agreement?
Deferred annexation.
I would second that.
Okay, motion has been made and seconded. Any further comment? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Item 5.
Item 5 before you this evening. Virgil, do you want to make any comment on this? This is the at our influent pump station, at our sewage, at our wastewater treatment plant. There's a really expensive screen that does a lot of things. It keeps a lot of bad stuff out, and I don't quite understand the mechanisms of that, but Virgil certainly does, and I'll let him explain.
Is that your highly technical?
Yes.
Keeps some bad stuff out, huh? Okay.
Well, we were on top of that sucker. We saw it.
Go ahead,
Bert. It's pretty close. It's actually after the influent pump station. You go to the headworks. And the headworks, what that screen does is captures anything that's large, like rags, large pieces of vegetables or whatever, Tonka trucks, match card type of things. You'd be surprised. Ping pong balls, whatever. This screen captures those items and puts it in a very large trash can, and then that gets hauled away. The screen that we have out there at plant number 2 has reached its life expectancy, so we're looking to put a new one in. And what we plan to do is take that old one and use it as a template to make machine parts. We have a machinist out in Livermore that could take those parts, remake them for us, so that we can have a little bit longer longevity on plant number 1. We have the same item at both plants, 1 and plant 2. There's a headworks at each one. So what we're looking to do is replace the headworks at plant 2 with a newer screen and take the existing one out, use it as a template to make new stainless steel parts to put in that are worn down at plant number 1.
So if I understand you correctly, you're just talking about recycling stainless steel to make parts?
Not recycling it per se right at the moment, but using it as a template.
Okay.
A lot of it has certain tolerances and thicknesses and lengths and so forth. We can't see that because it's under wastewater. So when you pull that out, we'll measure and then have a machine shop made. So we have some spares. So when they wear it, by number one, we install them there. Typically today, it's generally a 14-16 week interval to have those parts made and sent to us from a company called Westin.
How long did our last one last?
Generally about 10 years.
I thought we were gonna, when I was on top of that, the head was talking about it, we're gonna use the old one and actually turn that into a spare.
That's correct, but using the parts, have some parts made from it. Because there are parts on it right now that are worn.
Okay, so you guys can take parts off the screen and replace them. You mm-hmm. make them. Okay,
correct.
Okay, so does it have movable parts on it?
Yes, it does.
Oh.
It has an auger on it, and the auger
so
also has brushes
okay.
on it
right.
with the screen underneath it.
I got you.
Yeah.
The proposal shows a cost of $41,097 that does not include tax. So the action before you tonight is to approve the screen in an amount of $44,487.50, which includes tax. It's just about
right on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Is the original builder of this still in business?
Yeah, they are.
We're buying it from the same guys?
We are.
So they have the plans and everything? Okay, so we don't have to re-engineer anything.
Well, no, but we are using a different model that they make today. They don't make the current model that we use today.
Okay.
They've modified it, and so we are getting the latest. But because of the opening and the angle and the support, you want it to match your existing structure. If not, you'll have to redo a lot of, do some modifications to the concrete structure in order to accommodate that.
So you're saying the wear and the customization of it?
Pardon me?
If the wear on it causes different sizes from what you designed?
No, it's the support brackets, the stainless steel brackets, the footings that support it. You have to match up to that. If not, you'll have to redo that again.
Okay.
Is the structure at plant one and plant two identical, or are they different?
Yes, they are identical.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Did we exhaust the crap out of that, so to speak? Any comments from the public? Questions? Thank you, Virgil, for that explanation. We actually had more questions than we thought we did. That'd be great.
I'll make a motion that we approve this purchase for $44,487.50.
I'll second. Made and seconded. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? It is passed unanimously. I believe that is all the action items for tonight. Moving to page two. We're going to start with the director's reports. Anything from our directors? Evening. Okay, and nothing from the president other than tomorrow at 10 o'clock there is an Aviation Committee Council committee ACC meeting, whatever that stands for, Aviation County Committee, I think that's what it is meeting at the Byron Airport at 10 o'clock. It doesn't meet out here very often. If you want to find out what's going on with your airports in East Contra Costa County, with both Buchanan and Byron, it would be a good opportunity to do that without having to travel too far. 500 Eagle Drive, I think, is the address of the office out there, and that's at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. And we didn't have any other meetings in between now and then, so that's all I have for you, Rick. Booting up apparently.
I just wanted to show you some photos of Cornell Park. I don't know why this is not connected.
It was a beautiful blue
right
sky you had that
right
day.
Right on my computer right here. I can see the picture. Cornell Park tile wall and park playground grand opening is this Saturday at 11:15 a.m. We're going to have some kids, local kids, singing some songs. Ward will be there if they're able to. We're going to have some bounce houses, activities for the kids. I don't know why my computer's on top of that, but the ribbon cutting is going to take place at just before noon at about 11:55.
Is on the network?
Did they paint all the tiles blue like that? Is that what you're showing us?
No. I actually had some pictures of the tiles, too. Sure,
I can show it to you this way, I guess. This is the new big playground structure.
Let's go back to it.
She didn't say so. I'm assuming no. Rick, are you still trying to make this work?
Yeah, it's not working very well.
Well, there were no clouds that day.
This is the new park, the new playground over Cornell.
You're really not going to.
We'll see it.
Know what? We'll see it Saturday. How's
we'll
that?
We'll see it Saturday.
Are you guys going to? Are you guys going?
I'm going to be in Saturday.
Are you?
Yeah. I'll try.
It's followed by a song and dance out of the marina, I think the Lions Club are doing there. Isn't there?
That's the following.
That's the 17th?
17th, yeah.
Yeah,
I apologize for the technical difficulty on that one, but the park is coming along. If you've been out there and seen it, the part of the tile wall is up. A number of the tiles are up. They look great. Playground equipment is all in. They were doing the pour in place. They did some of it over the weekend, or actually end of the week. We had to have some security out there over the weekend. Has to sit for 24 hours so that we don't have people walking on it. So we took care of that, and I believe the final pour is going to be tomorrow. So we'll be ready to go for Saturday. And that's all I have.
Questions?
Yeah.
For the gentleman? Yeah, Rich.
Rick, about a month ago, I complained to the district about the brown water coming into my house, and it's still there. It's not even worse. And I heard a couple of weeks ago some discussion about replacing the filters here, and I just wanted to know when we're going to have clean water again, because it's pretty, pretty disgusting. If you have company over your house,
amen.
Yeah. Okay.
We have had issues with one of our filters. Filter right out here, filter C. The media that's in the filter that filters the water and makes it clear, for one reason or another, either through degradation or through a break in the line, we can't get into those filters very easily. We had to shut it down, and what ended up happening is some of the, for lack of a better word, some of the source water got into our storage tanks. And so that source water is what causes the brown, and we have shut that filter down, and it's currently out of service. Filters A and B are working perfectly. The water's coming out crystal clear. We replaced all the filter media last year on those. We took some action last week to drain down the tanks here, right outside the office here. We drained those tanks down and refilled them back up. So that's why it's gotten better. It's just going to take a little bit of time before it gets back to normal. It should have improved significantly from last week to this week, however. Literally from Thursday to Saturday.
You should come to my house. It's so far, it's not working, whatever you do.
It is possible that it does get stuck in your hot water heater. And so you might want to try running your hot water heater down. To drain it from there.
This
if it's coming
water
out of the cold,
comes in the cold water pipes in the toilets.
Are we looking at this right after if we got another?
Well, we've been working diligently on this over the last 2 weeks. Yes.
It also has a smell too.
Yeah. What is the expectation that something will be finished?
The byproduct that's in there, it's called correct me if I'm wrong, Virgil, it's iron and manganese. And those are naturally occurring byproducts of all water sources. And so we've been working, our filters filter that out, or they're supposed to filter that out. Subsequent to filter C having its issue, we've shut down filter C, we've drained the tanks, filled them back up with clear water, filter water that's from the filters that have been recently, where the media's been replaced. And so, like I said, it should have gotten better. The number of calls we received here at the office have gone down significantly from last week. We still do get them. Part of the problem is also we're in a heavy heat time of year, and a lot of that gets attached to the pipes themselves, and as the flows increase, it ends up ending up in the homes as well. And we're working on it.
Thank you for that. Is that the end of your report?
Yes, sir.
Any other managers' reports this evening? No? Council?
Just briefly, for those who were not present at the end of the special meeting, the board held a special meeting at 6 o'clock. There was one item. It was a closed session item under D1. Four of the directors were present. Director Dawson was absent. Report out of closed session was that there was no reportable action from the closed item. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Is there any update up from the Community Center Committee?
Rescheduled. We're planning on hopefully coming to the next meeting with some kind of a report.
Awesome. That'd be great. Looking forward to that.
And if I may piggyback on that, since you asked a question. We will be putting out, we're still seeking input into the survey. And so we did order some signs. The signs arrived yesterday, and the signs are going to be put out over the next couple of days. So if you haven't taken the survey, please go to www.discoverybaysurvey.com and take the survey for us.
Are you not getting a response like you need? Is that the problem?
We received about 300 responses. We'd like to get a lot more.
Interesting. Okay. There's our list of correspondence. There's our list of public records requests, which are fairly active in this last period of time. And are there any future agenda items? Director Simon.
Can you put on the next agenda so we can have a discussion about stipends and meetings that we're attending, and maybe we can decide which ones we need to attend, which ones we don't.
Any other agenda items? Meeting's adjourned.